This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Anthropology is the science of humanity and pursues big questions. What makes us human? Why do we behave the way we do? How are we influenced by the world around us? A cadre of consulting anthropologists is now engaged in somewhat less profound queries like, how do people drink absolute vodka at house parties? Or which kitchen items have meaning? Red Associates is a consulting firm that offers corporate clients a deeper understanding of consumer behavior through field research and ethnographies. Graham Wood is contributing editor for The Atlantic and author of the article Anthropology Incorporated. He joins us to talk more about the growing business of social science. Graham, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So your article opens with research conducted by Red Associates for Absolut Vodka. Tell us a little bit more about how the research was conducted and what Absolut wanted to find out.
Absolut wanted an anthropologist to go into the field and to talk to drinkers of vodka and other spirits and just to do what anthropologists do, which is live among the communities and describe exactly how they organize themselves and what kinds of actions have value and meaning for them. And then they wanted to take that information and figure out how better to sell people their product.
It's a pretty intensive form of market research. What are they getting at that other forms of market research may not?
So you could ask people, what kind of alcohol do you buy and what do you want out of your alcohol? And they may or may not tell you the truth. But if you embed yourself in the parties that they have, and there was one in particular in Austin, Texas, that one of the researchers described to me in great detail, then you can really observe the way they live their lives and exactly how they present alcohol to their hosts, how they drink it, and what really matters to them during the party. And with that information, you can really tailor the experience of drinking to fit exactly what they do rather than just what they say they do.
When did ethnography find a place into marketing? I mean, and which companies today keep ethnographers on staff?
So the big surprise for me, as someone who thought that anthropology was really an academic discipline, is that the biggest employers of anthropologists are actually the U.S. government, and then probably Microsoft comes next after that.
Wow.
So
that's stunning.
Lots of big companies would have anthropologists on staff because they need someone to really describe for them what the human meaning of their products are. If you look at a computer screen all day, then you might sort of forget exactly how the product is going to be used, and you certainly won't know how it's going to be used in a really foreign culture, like when Microsoft tries to sell its operating system in, say, China. They might discover that the cultural uses of the computer there differ from what they are in Redmond, Washington. So lots of big companies do this.
Who are these consultants? I mean, are they grad school dropouts? Are they dissatisfied academics?
Sometimes they're actually satisfied academics, too. Some of them are grad school dropouts. Some of them have PhDs from really great institutions, too. They're basically people who have been trained thoroughly in ethnography, often to the PhD level, and who have decided that they want the better paycheck and the possibilities of corporate work more than they want the academic opportunities that they might have had otherwise.
But still, you point out that there are still some ethical concerns, at least among other academics. You know, it's quite a long process to have ethnographies conducted and approved, living among people, as you said, compared to a 6 or 7 hour interview, observing rather than leading. Are there risks when those kind of steps are being bypassed?
Yeah, there are, certainly. You're quite right to say that the academic anthropologists, they usually would have to go through an institutional review board, which really puts them through the ringer, trying to figure out exactly what kinds of risks their research would present to the subject, to their subjects. Whereas a corporate anthropologist, really, they answer only to the person who is paying them to do the research. So it could very well be that the research that they do helps, for example, a big soft drink company sell more sugary soft drinks to the population. And that would, I think, it's fair to say, would harm the population in that it would give them higher diabetes and, you know, childhood obesity and so forth. So a lot of the ethical concerns that academic anthropologists have to deal with just sort of disappear and have to be taken on the good faith of the paymasters of the corporate anthropologist.
Do you think research by a corporate anthropologist could have crossover value in social science? You'd see a paper that says Evans Pritchard among the newer in 1956, read in Austin at an Absolut party 2013. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose it's possible. I know that there are anthropologists at Red Associates, for example, who are active in research still. But the kinds of concerns that academic anthropologists have and that corporate anthropologists have, that they share a method but not necessarily the same goals. And so I don't think you're going to see any of the foundational texts of anthropology 100 years from now coming from the corporate world. They'll probably still come from the academic world.
I wonder about the future of anthropology here, because there are so many different subcultures that have their own rituals and belief systems and ways of being in our society, not to mention the global markets that you mentioned in China. People do things quite differently. So is this the future of anthropology? Do you think this could be a good strain of study?
I think it is a future of anthropology, but it's, of course, important to say it's also one of the pasts of anthropology. Anthropology as a discipline hasn't existed really for more than 100 years or so in at least the ethnographic form. But even back then, anthropologists such as Evans Pritchard were using their work for purposes that were not for just academic study. He was trying to get some of his subjects to, for example, fight on the Allied side in the Second World War. Mm-hmm. So anthropologists' use of their work for ends that were political or corporate, that's nothing new. I'm quite certain that anthropology will continue to have at least part of its work done in this type of field, though, for as long as there are anthropologists.
Graham, just a minute left, but I'm wondering, I couldn't help but think, but what would an anthropologist think coming to my house during a dinner party, looking at the surface of things, taking photographs of the things that I have? Would they get an accurate picture in a four-hour house party?
4 hours isn't too much time. An anthropologist would love to be in your house for 3 years, but you probably wouldn't want the anthropologist there. What the anthropologist would probably see, though, are a lot of rituals that you didn't even know you were observing. And by looking at that, it might be able to tell you some really interesting things about your life.
Well, thank you so much, Graham, for joining us. Graham is contributing editor to The Atlantic, and you can find his pretty fascinating article, Anthropology Incorporated. It's on our Facebook page at Word of Mouth Radio.